It's good to know him.
It's good to know him. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. There is of 10,000 is what he is to me. It's good to know him. Try him, you will see. It's good to know him. It's good to know him. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Fairest of 10,000 is what he is to me. It's good to know him. Try him, you will see. It's good to know him. It's good to know him. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. There is of 10,000 is what he is to me. It's good to know him. Try and you will see.
One more time.
It's good to know him. It's good to know him. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. There is of 10,000 is what he is to me. It's good to know him. Try and you will see.
Amen.
Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight and you permit me for just a few minutes, I know you're tired, so am I. So I feel your pain. Amen. Wasn't that good? I tell you, God's so good, it's worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's to be expected. Hallelujah. Glory. It's to be expected. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you for it. We adore you for it. Praise his name. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I can have this all night long. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is normal. This is how people of God are. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 1:1. I'm going to read three verses to you and just try to talk for a minute if I can. And if I can't, that's okay too. I don't have to talk. We just worship and break out and run and shout. That's church, man. That's why we preach, to get stirred up and God to work his miracle. So it's already done. He don't need me preaching. Hallelujah. He is the preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know that already. Praise God. Just be yielded to God. That's what this is all about. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I'll read that one more time to you. Focus on the first part of the verse. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. All right. Next verse of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, all the wonderful saints. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 right up to it. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others do, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, the book of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Last verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. Stay there. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 6, read right up to this, because this is also good. No? So it's going to be more than three verses. Forgive me. Wherefore also, but at least it was three. I did say three. Just needs to be more. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It's from Isaiah 28. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you, you weren't appointed to their appointment. You were appointed to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So we've read to you Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not here to try to teach anything new, and I'm not trying to add any layer to the word that, and I'm not trying to read into something that isn't there. It's just a point that is made, especially based upon 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we read, also Paul saying, he's addressing things to the people of God, and to the Corinthian church had a lot of things going on and a lot of things to be straightened out, put in order, and just, you know, some dope slapped, others, praise God, you're doing good. Just kind of an apostle going back as a pastor and sort of just kind of leveling the playing field here. And he simply said in that particular section of the epistle, he said, we don't need letters of recommendation or commendation from anybody or from you. We shouldn't have to, because you're the letters. Amen. You are the epistle. And then we read here in Peter that we're a chosen generation. I remember David writing in his generation, who will declare it? So with this thought in mind about the book, that we're living epistles, and that this is about the book of the generation, we read in the Word of God also about the book of life. I'm just here to say and ask a question tonight. What type of reed are you? Hallelujah. Yeah, you're right. You ever read a book? You ever look for a good read? Whatever genre suits you, whatever type of reading material you like to read to pass time and just hope it's good stuff. I'm trusting if you're saints of God, it's going to be good stuff. You're not going to read all that schmuck stuff. But you look for a good read. No child of God needs to read into that stuff. No child of God needs a romance novel. If you need help in romance, just hit the altar and God will straighten you all out. That was a preacher side note. But there's even a website called goodreads.com. Well, what type of read are we? The book of the generation. It's not just about the book of Matthew being the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Matthew is saying something that Peter also said when he called us the chosen generation. And David also talked about that a seed would serve him, and who will declare his generation? Paul said that we are declared, we are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, so that it suggests something to us that we are living, breathing, moving books that show. That's what that Bible church word manifest is all about. It's about what you say, what you give off, what people read from you, even when they're not listening to you. But when they watch your lifestyle, they're reading a book. Are they reading a good read? What type of read are they reading? Are they reading somebody riding the fence? Not that any of you are. Are they reading somebody with a good attitude? Are what they reading from you, is it saying that I'm a child of God? I am one somebody that's of the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That, praise God, you're reading an epistle, but this epistle is a part of a book. Hallelujah. Just like 1 Peter is a part of the book of many books. It's a part of what we refer to today as the Bible. Look at that as an example, that you are like an epistle of the book of life in this world. The book of the singular generation, the chosen generation. He's only got one. Jesus doesn't have any grandkids like some preachers say. He's got children. Praise the Lord. He's got children. He's got millions and millions of children, praise God, that are all a part of that book. And that's what Matthew was saying when he wrote the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And then he lists genealogies, but he said this is all about the book of the generation. Praise God. The generation that all of these, this one and this one begat this one, begat this one, begat this one, all led up to the birth of this generation. And they were a part of it. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11, you remember the end of the verse, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so that when our life seems to be turning a different direction and maybe we're not going to end up a good read, we're surrounded by a bunch of books that say, come on. How many times have you gone back into our books to get encouraged so that your book can end up encouraged? Hallelujah. You've reached into our epistle so that your epistle can continue to be a good read. Right. Don't end up a bad read. Amen. Because before God, as is written in the revelation of Jesus Christ, all the books are open. Not physical books. This isn't about books. Your life is a book. And what's open before the Lord, even the book of life, is not a physical book. We know this. But some really don't, because tradition just paints this picture of this old dude sitting on a cloud and with this huge book and everybody's name's in it. And he's like, yep, you're an idiot. You're going to die lost. Nope, yep, you're pretty cool. You did right. You know, you helped that old lady across the street. Nice guy. And you can go in and it's like, yeah, let me see. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the movies do it this way because they don't know any better. They don't have anything else to do with their time. And they're like, what's your name? I think you're here. Up there you are. Go in right ahead there, Mr. Peters. Peter's waiting for you at the gate. There you are. Yep, there you are. No, it's not that way. It's the book of life. We got to say, isn't it awful that we have to talk this way? Because people really, well, come on, we used to when we were raised in our traditions. We had no ability to think of anything other than old man in a cloud with a book. And that God was this old man with a long beard and a long robe. Because that's what the painters in the Renaissance created, these pictures to dictate what Jesus looks like. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus wasn't a long-haired hippie freak from the 70s. He just wasn't. He was a Jew, and men Jews didn't have long hair. It was a shame to him. Yeah, Brother Joe's in trouble now. So what type of read are you? I want to be a good read. I want to be a read that even when the people that we are ministering to and reaching out for, they don't have any Bible knowledge. They may not even need a scripture from you. They don't need a big theological lesson, but they need a good read. They need to experience the read. You need to be a living epistle Because we are made alive. We are lively stones. That's what Peter also said, right, in his epistle? That we are lively stones because of the living stone, the headstone. Praise God. The one disallowed by others but approved by us. And he's made us living stones. Made us a precious people, a peculiar people. A people that will stand out. A people that when they're walking on the in the library of life, that your read is going to stand out on that bookshelf, and they're going to want to read you. They're going to want to be close to you. They're going to want to check you out. They're going to want to download you, put you on their Kindle. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They're going to want to be that. What type of reed are you? I don't want to be a self-righteous reed. I don't want to be, I've got the truth and you don't, reed. I don't want to be the preacher preaches too long, reed. And none of you have that problem because you tell me to preach longer, and I appreciate that. And I fear that I'm spoiling some, so I don't want any dreams from Brother Rutledge coming my way, saying, you haven't cleared 9 o'clock in 6 weeks. What's the problem? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I won't talk about church attendance. Hallelujah. You're welcome. Amen. Praise God. I'm just having fun tonight. You know that. Everybody's accounted for. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We can go on and on. This is such a fascinating topic and study. And here's the great thing. When we read things like, it was said the other night, Brother Tim, was you. We were chatting at the church and talked about 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you. You know, we were books not worth reading. We were some of those filthy exotic books. Those erotica novels. But then we came to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not here to, you know, get anything above rated G here, but I'm just telling you the truth. Before we found God, we were dirty dogs, and there's a lot of laundry under the bridge that's washed by the blood of Christ. Thank God for that. But he took that nasty, disgusting rated X novel, and he turned it into something rated G for kids. Hallelujah. We weren't a good read when we came to Calvary. But Jesus made us a good read. Took the guile away. Praise God. He took the hypocrisy away, the envy away, all the evil speaking away. He took all the hatred away, the emulation away, the drunkenness away, the wasting of our life in the darkness, in the gross darkness, and the not acknowledging God in any of our ways. Praise God. Not being able to get along with people. Well, you said it tonight. That's what it's about. It's about manifestly becoming the epistle of Christ. You're patient. You're more patient than you used to be. You're not losing it because something goes wrong. Praise God. That what's happening, you're becoming a stone. Hallelujah. You're becoming a good reed. Praise God. You're becoming somebody that others want to be around. Why? Because there's a joy coming out of your book. There's a peace coming out of your book, and they don't have peace. They're the erotica novels. But they want to come out of that nastiness and taste what your novel's about. They want to read you a little bit more. Oh, God, help us tonight to become good reads. Hallelujah. True epistles that people want to sit beside and be close to because they know this novel's not going to condemn them. This novel is so chosen, it's so holy, it's so peculiar, praise God, that I feel like this book that I'm sitting beside is calling me out of where I am. Oh, hallelujah, you got a powerful book, people. Didn't Jesus say, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me? Hallelujah, where is he now? He's in you, and he's a drawing factor. Praise God. I mean, think about it tonight, that there's something so much a part of your life that you are becoming this book of life. And that's what's so awesome about it. It's about your name being written in the book of life. You know what that really means? It's not a name written in a physical book. It just means your existence and everlasting life is there. Right. If your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, it's because you're in the book of life. Right. You exist there. Hallelujah. And there's nothing more of a good read than the book of life.
Praise God. Oh, let's love him a moment. I'm almost through. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to read a verse here because this is what happens, and this is what's happened to all of us that ever come to the truth for the very first time. We begin to, let's see if I can find, I think it's this chapter. Yes, it is. Revelation 7. We begin reading a book, but I didn't know we were reading it, Brother Dana. You talked about how important Jesus' name was to you many years ago and how you avoided it and how there are lots of little things in your life you didn't know, but there came a point in time when you came to it. I remember he came when we were on Central Ave and baptized in Jesus' name, and we've been forever blessed at just the good read that's come from his life and all the songs. We'll call him our little David, you know. He's not out there with sheep, you know. He's coming in from where he works and wearing himself out and after multiple heart attacks, and he's still with us. We could have lost him a long time ago. But here he is. He's still singing. Why is that such? Why is it a blessing? Why, when he takes those songs that he's written, he's not singing someone else's song. When he writes those songs, that something's coming out of that that ministers and blesses and causes us to rise to our feet. What's happening is we're enjoying a good read. Amen. Hallelujah. We're enjoying something that comes from the throne of God. Remember that we're written not with ink and pen, but with the Spirit of the living God. That means he's writing in your soul. That's why a prayer life is so powerful, because it's there that God's writing. Our prayer life is not us adding something to the book of life as far as, God, give me your pen and let me do the writing. No, it's that book writing on us, and we become an extension of that book. But not only to other people, we're becoming an extension to ourselves. God is telling you, in this life, I'm giving you a taste of what's yet to come by letting you enjoy a release of the book of life in your life, by letting you become a portion of that book. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That's why this can so affect so many people. We don't have to worry about trying to make people see Acts 2:38. Let's live Acts 2:38. Let's be Acts 2:38 to the denominational world, to the world full of barbarians, to all the eroticas, praise God, that are not even close to the Christian mark in any way. We are a living epistle that we don't have to feel like, you know, some of these churches that go, you know, they stop preaching Jesus' name. And they open their doors and they stop being what they once were, and they just let anything go, and all of a sudden they grow in numbers. They're after the crowds. If they have this attitude that says, if you can't beat them, join them. Boy, what a philosophy. That's so dumb. There's nothing. What do you give up? We're not missing on anything. This isn't a numbers game. Yeah, I want this place filled up too, and it will be, but it's going to be filled up with people who have been influenced by your book, who have been reading your pages, and who are hungry for God, and they want what's written on your page, what's written on your wall. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And they're taught in their realms that you don't have to hide the word, that you can sin more or less every day, some of them, that you're always going to have a sin nature. Oh, no, they need to be bumped into by your epistle. An epistle that says, no, wait a minute, my friend. When you've got the word of God written in your soul, sin cannot be there. He'll set you free from sin. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? All right. I'm winding it down so I can keep you. Praise God. Get back to some more shouting here. I can't express it enough. When God can reveal to you that you're a book of Christ, how special is that? How awesome is that? How much more should we want to be aware of our own nature and our character, our personality, our attitude? We are ambassadors for Christ, whether or not you're a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, and no matter any of that, you don't have to have a title. All of us are ambassadors for Christ, and we represent God, whether we're in the classroom, whether on the job, in the supermarket, driving down the road, somebody cuts in front of you, praise God. Yeah. What are they going to meet? What type of a reed are you? Hallelujah. Revelation 7. Glory. The book of the generation. What I like reading about scripture sometimes is I like to imagine myself sitting beside old Matt while he's writing this, and what was in his head? What was he thinking about as God was just blessing him and he was writing an account? I mean, think about the words that they all chose to start off with when they wrote their epistles. Every one of them is different. With Matthew is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And with Mark, he starts off with John, a voice of him that cries in the wilderness. And with Luke, he starts off with old Theophilus. And John, in the beginning, was the Word. What a way to start. They didn't start off in traditional storytelling mode, per se. Well, once upon a time, they all individually started in the way that they started, saying things in a certain way for a reason. And Matthew just says, man, the book of the generation. He's writing about himself and about all that was happening in the first century. He was writing an epistle saying, the book of all of this. Praise God. Of all that we've seen, of all that we've heard, of all that we've been through, the book of this, and we are they. We're about to read. Got a copycat back there. Yeah, turn that guy down. He's copying me. But that's how I see it, Brother Rick. I'm getting that feeling like Matthew was just thinking to himself, I'm going to write an epistle about all of us. The book of the generation. I wasn't just saying the book of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew. He was talking about a book. The greatest book ever written. And it's so big, you can't put it in any human library. How do you put millions and millions? Well, let me just read and I'll stop. One of the elders answered, verse 13, chapter 7 of Revelation. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? Came they. And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They were tired of being the type of book they were, and have washed their books and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. This isn't just some day. That's what some don't understand when they read this book and they get all theological and all stupid in their lack of understanding. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody. I've heard all sorts of theologies and opinions about this verse of scripture, but this is talking about us. It's talking about everybody that's in Christ Jesus, both Jew and Gentile. That's the proper teaching. It's not an epistle written just to the Jews, and this section's just to the Gentiles. That's misinterpretation of the Word of God. And you'd have to throw away other pieces of the Bible to make those types of statements true. God has put no difference between Jacob and the Gentiles. Now, if you don't understand a word that I'm saying in some fronts, don't worry about it. But we got people today trying to make difference and say there are books and then there are books. But that's not true. It's always going to be the book of the generation. One generation. Not one generation for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. It's the generation. We don't know that old brother Matthew might have been an old man leaning on a cane when he wrote the book of Matthew by the time he got around to writing it, because they were the epistle. That's what we got to understand, that in that first century, it was decades before any epistle was ever written. They were the New Testament church. They preached what they later wrote about. They didn't have the book of Matthew being read in all the churches throughout Asia and Judea and all the, throughout the land of Canaan where they're all having church. No, they just had people full of the Holy Ghost who had knowledge of Holy Scriptures trained and taught by the apostles. And that's why they labored so abundantly to train these people and to teach them the ways of God, especially those that had no idea of any of the Word of God. When they received the gift of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the only Holy Scriptures they had was Genesis to Malachi. That was considered Holy Scriptures. It was later in the first century, I'm trying to hurry, but it was later in the first century that the rest of the 27 epistles were written. And then later considered, obviously by the church, to be just as much the Word of God and a record of the good things of God in the first century as all the epistles before. Some people just don't know these things. And that's why they get all goofy in their thinking and their theologies, because they're being taught by potato heads. Look, don't get a degree and end up not knowing anything. I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's a lot of money spent to end up knowing nothing. So here I finish with this. And I said unto him, sir, do you know? And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. See, it's not about how much scripture you know. It's about whether you've come out of great tribulation. If you're living in sin, you're in great tribulation. Now, I've lost the end time prophecy people. I don't care. They're lost anyway. They're lost in their thinking. Here's where they say, no, the great tribulation is this. It's all of this. And they, no, look, let me tell you something. The greatest tribulation the human race could ever find themselves in is being lost without God and not in the book of life and not a part of the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That's tribulation. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But he said, I've come to call you out of the world, out of great tribulation. And if you're smart enough, you'll come out of it through conversion. And you'll become a good reed. Hallelujah. What type of reed are you? Are you a sinful reed or are you a righteous reed? Hallelujah. Are the pages of your life full of sin and shame and despair and anxiety and all sorts of confusion? Jesus is saying, look, I'll make you such a good reed. Praise God. I'll replace anxiety with peace, sin with righteousness, holiness from your unholiness. I'll give you peace of mind. I'll heal you of things in your past. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God who can turn your life into a great reed. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise him some more. I'll just finish there. Whoa, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Oh, we're chosen tonight. We're royal tonight. We're peculiar tonight. That's who you are if you've come out of great tribulation. Hallelujah. Now watch this. If the world doesn't like your reed, God loves it. I don't need them liking it. They can mock the reed and say they don't like your epistle. They think you're crazy and strange and I'd never purchase you and download you for 99 cents. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But God looks at your life and says you're a bestseller. Hallelujah. You're such a bestseller, you're going to live forever. Hallelujah. Your book will never go out of date and out of print. Hallelujah. You'll never be out of print. If you need something from the Lord right now, let me tell you something. If you feel like there are things written in your life that life is trying to write you to be a loser, suicidal, give up, anything, you need to call on Jesus' name and let a different author take control. Amen. Fire the old author. He's a loser anyhow. He'll never write a bestseller, and he's going to die lost forever. There's no mercy for him. He'll never be in the book of life. He was booted out because he was too stupid to stay saved. Don't let him be your author. It's true. It's true. Jesus is saying, just give me your book. Just put your book in my hands. Watch what I can do with it. So tonight, even if you're a child of God and something's going in the wrong direction, give Jesus the pen. Get it out of your hand. Give it to the Lord. Let the Spirit of God rewrite and make sure that what's seemingly going this way ends up a good chapter in your life. Go ahead. Call on his name together right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we love you. Oh, hallelujah, we love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's good to know him. It's good to know him. Hallelujah. It's good to know him. Praise God. It's good to know him. God, I don't know how to write my life, but you do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One last thing. Here's why some people struggle and with change. If God's trying to change your life or wants to change your life, that's okay. You should be okay with that. It's one thing when a church group or a preacher tries to change you because he's full of pet peeves. But if we yield our lives to God and we serve him and we let ourselves obey his gospel and we save ourselves from this crooked generation as Peter instructed us to do so, then if you allow that to work in you, what's happening now is you have now been formatted. See, when you write a book and you want to upload it to Kindle, you write it in Microsoft Word and then you format it for Kindle, and then you upload it, and then it appears as a book that can be read on Kindle. Not here to be technical, but I'm here to say that if you want to become a book of God, then let Christ format you. And if he's gotten to the point where he's formatted you to be an epistle of Christ, then yield your life to God and let God, he's going to change you. It's common sense. There'll be things that will change in your life. Duh. If he's going to write things in your life, the word of God's going to change you. The scripture says that we are changed from glory to glory. And we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. It's inevitable in this life and in that which is to come. But if you become stubborn and you close the book and you want to gain control of your own epistle because you're not sure if God, you'll let him change some of those things about your life, very bad. It's not the right direction to go. Praise God. Don't be in control of your own epistle. Because he's intending to take an epistle of Christ to glory, not an epistle of you. God bless you.